Well, we'll pick it up in 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 48. He says, as is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly. Earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. So he's talking about our new bodies that we're going to get. And that's one thing I preach about a lot because I'm looking forward to that.
Amen.
He contrasted them. And verse number 47, that first man, which is Adam, is of the earth. Earthy, and that second man is the Lord from heaven. So we're born in Adam, but whenever you're born again, you're in the last Adam, which is Jesus Christ.
That's right,
and so he's saying that first one is earthy, and it's earthly minded, and it's minded of this earth because this earth is all it knows, and that's why it cares so much about the world and the things of the world. That's why, look, these humanists and these animal conservationists and these tree huggers and all this stuff, y'all, they're just doing what earthly people, lost people do. They're just thinking about this earth and things like that. That's why, to a humanist, if you kill a polar bear, they think you're a worse person than somebody who kills a human. You can get more time for killing an eagle, a bald eagle, than you can for killing a human in a lot of places. Why? Because they're humanists. They're earthy. And they're of the earth, and that's why they're concerned. And they're thinking, well, you know, survival of the fittest, and let's protect the lions and all this stuff. And that's fine if they won't do that. But guess what? If it's survival of the fittest, then, well, how come we're having to protect the lions? Well, you see, they say, well, the skunk and the raccoon and all that got the same rights we do. Okay, we'll have them a funeral then whenever they die. Well, what's that? They're earthly. They don't think. They're not thinking. And see, but you're born into Christ, and you've got a heavenly mindset now. You're actually capable of thinking about things from heaven. It says in verse number 49, and as we have borne the image of the earthy, so you were made. Once Adam sinned, he lost that image of God. That's why the Bible says in Genesis, Seth was born in the image of Adam. So we say, well, man's made in the image of God. A lost man don't have the image of God. A lost man, his spirit is dead. That's not the image of God. The image of God has a live spirit and a live soul and a dead body. Mind, because this look here, when you're saved, this body is dead. It's not connected to my soul. What's that called? That's eternal security. A lot of these people don't understand why we teach eternal security. And the reason why we teach it is because my body, this thing is dead. The worms are going to get this thing one of these days. But you know what? I'm going to get a new one. That's what he's talking about. And that new body is not going to be a sinful body, and it's not going to sin. Okay, and he says this, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. You're going to get a body that has the image of that heavenly body, and that image is of the image of Jesus Christ. Now, you're going to be like Christ. Y'all, that's exciting to me.
Yes, it is.
Y'all, there's a lot of things I read exciting in this Bible here. But you know what? This body is called a house. And over in one place in the Bible, I think it's in 1 Corinthians 6. But I was thinking about this. You know, over in John 14, he said, I prepared a mansion for you. You know what? That's wonderful. We think, well, there's a mansion out there, and we're thinking about this big old mansion. Well, you know what else too? Don't you know that body that's able to grow in the Lord, and that body that's able to serve, don't you know that's going to be a mansion compared to this little earthly house right here that wastes away? That's actually getting worse day by day? You know what? That body's going to be a mansion to you. He's prepared. Why? It's a prepared body. That thing's prepared for you. I think about that's going to be a mansion. That's a mansion in its own right, isn't it? Why? Because we're going to have the image of Christ. All right, he says, now this I say. Now this is very important.
Yeah.
Brethren, here's the context of this verse. It's very important right here. That flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. The context is church age saints. Why is that? Because we know that they're going to be flesh and blood bodies go into the kingdom of heaven after the great tribulation. Why? Because there are going to be Jews and also Gentiles who come through that tribulation, and they're going to go into that millennial age, and they're going to have flesh and blood bodies. But guess what? The kingdom of God is different than the kingdom of heaven. One of my favorite preachers, somebody asked him, said, well, how do you know they're different? He said, well, they're spelled different. God's not heaven and heaven's not God. Yeah, that's pretty simple. I mean, he wasn't trying to be smart. He was just saying, in the beginning, God created the heaven.
That's right.
Well, you know the kingdom of God different than the kingdom of heaven, because heaven was created, God wasn't created. Now, when you're born again, you're born into the kingdom of God, and it's not meat, and it's not drink, it's not a physical thing, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's a spiritual thing. Heaven, this earth is in the heavens, and these heavens are physical. They're literal and they're visible. You can see them. You can sit down in them. Now with us, one of these days we're going to come back and the kingdom of God comes with the Lord, and it will be merged there with the kingdom of heaven. But let me tell you, the two are the different. That's why this thing here says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Let me tell you this, you're not going to get in the kingdom of God, and you're not going to get in the body of Christ unless you come through the way, and that's the door, Jesus Christ. There's only one way.
That's right.
I know Oprah Winfrey says, well, you can get in through Muslim and all the atheists and all this stuff. One of these days, everybody's going to, you're all coming up a mountain, she said one time. And you know what? There's many people that believe that. But y'all, there's only one way. And let me tell you something else too. Your inheritance in that kingdom, look, I don't inherit salvation, but you've got an inheritance. So once you're saved, you start working on that inheritance inside that kingdom of God, and it has to do with works. That's Colossians 3:24. I don't have time to go there. But what happens is, you're actually working on getting rewards on the other side over there, and you can't get that, what, with this flesh and blood body. You got to serve the Spirit, and you got to yield to the Spirit. Otherwise, anytime you yield to this flesh and blood body, you're not going to get any inheritance in that kingdom. That inheritance is not connected to this body as far as yielding to the flesh. You have to use this body to yield to that Spirit and do what God says with this body.
That's right.
And that's the whole thing as far as yielding. What's this? Why is he even? Because look, if he didn't have something there that had to do with inheritance on the other side, why wouldn't whenever we trust Christ, he just boom, we're dead and we're gone? But why is he leaving you here? Because he wants you to use this body for him, and he wants you to use that mind for him, and those hands for him, and those legs for him. People say, well, where? Anywhere. Anywhere you are. One thing I'm trying my best to ask God to help me to do is fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ more, so each and every day is an act of worship to the Lord.
That's right.
Why? Because look, I can't come to church every day. I got to go to work. So guess what? I want my work experience to be a part of my worship. I want whenever I get out, I want people to see the Lord in me best I can. Why? Because if I don't, I'm wasting my time. Any time that you spend not being mindful that every deed that you do, all things you read in Colossians ought to be done to the glory of God.
That's right,
over there, everything we do ought to be to the glory of God. You say, well, will you take out the garbage? Guess what? We ought to be filled with the Holy Spirit on everything we do.
That's it.
You don't have to be filled with the Spirit and float out there to take your garbage out. But you know what? You can have a mindset and say, hey, Lord, I just want to let you know I love you, and I'm going to love you while I'm taking out the garbage. I'm going to love you while I'm mowing the grass. I'm going to love you while I'm working in the yard. I'm going to love you while I'm working for so-and-so, so-and-so. Why? Because I'm supposed to work for that master as serving the Lord.
That's it.
I know that he's, of course, in my flesh here, he's you got a boss man. But guess what? My real boss is the Lord. That's who you're really working for. That's why whatever is done in private, say, look, God, he can't see me, but God can see me. There's not a camera on me right now, but God's watching me.
That's right.
And why? Because it's not a flesh and blood thing. It's a spiritual thing. Now, he's going to get into something really good right here in verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. Now, mystery means he's just now showing it to you. It wasn't revealed prior. He's about to tell you about the rapture of the church. We call it rapture, it's a catching away, 1 Thessalonians 4. But the thing is, that's how the Old Testament saints did not know about this thing here. That's why whenever the Lord talked to Martha over there, she said, well, I know Lazarus is going to rise at the last day. All she knew was a general resurrection.
That's it.
All she knew. But guess what? He's showing you a mystery, saying, look here, this is a church age thing, and we're going to get caught out of here alive. There's going to be one group, y'all. I hope everybody in here is part of the group that doesn't ever die. They're going to be like Enoch. You know what? The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. Some people look at that verse and they say, well, that's it. Everybody's going to die. Guess what? I've already died.
That's right,
brother. While I die, my old man died when I trusted Christ. So guess I don't have to die again if he comes in a rapture. Right. Another thing too, you know that's a general rule. Why? Because there's several people who died twice. Lazarus, don't you think he died again? He was resurrected. He died again, didn't he? That's a general rule there. But Enoch never died. Y'all, there's going to be a generation here, and I hope it's us. We may be sitting here, we may be driving down the road, and let me tell you something, when that trump sounds, that's it, we're gone. And this is what he's talking about. Paul is showing something that was not previously revealed. We shall not all sleep. Now, it's just called sleep to a saved person. He said, but we shall all be changed. Now, one person had that verse above their nursery. I thought that's pretty funny. They had that verse above the nursery in there. They're going to all be changed. But it says this, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now, that twinkling of an eye is not a blink. Have y'all ever saw somebody be talking to somebody, especially somebody that had cataract surgery? You can see that sunshine go over their eye, and that eye will twinkle. It's going to be that fast. Nobody's going to have time to get right or anything else. And some people say, well, right before that rapture happened, I'm going to get saved. No, you're not going to know. You're not going to have time. It's going to be in a twinkling of an eye. It says, at the last trump. Now, that is not the last trumpet in the Great Tribulation. That's a totally different thing. That in Revelation 11:15, it talks about that angel sounding that last trump, and it's done. Or it's a trumpet. This is a trump. And this is a trump of God mentioned in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. Now, if you will, turn with me to Numbers, chapter number 10. Show you something kind of neat in the Old Testament that kind of has to do with that. Leviticus, Numbers, chapter number 10. And just kind of let you know what they did with these things here. And this is kind of pictures, kind of a typology here of what's going to happen and what they're used from. Numbers chapter 10. A few people turn. Okay, verse number 4. He's talking about, well, look at verse number 2. Make thee two trumpets of silver. And it talks about what they're going to do with them. But drop down to verse number 4. And if they blow but with one trumpet, then the princes, which are heads of the thousand of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee. Now, what you have is you've got a gathering. Those trumpets have to do with a gathering. Now, you know what that Bible says? We shall be gathered together with them in the air. In 1 Thessalonians. You know what that thing is? That's God. God going to call us, and he's going to gather us with that trump of God, and we're going to be with him forever. The Bible says, so shall ye ever be with the Lord. There's never going to be a time where I have to be away from my Savior anymore. You're going to be ever with him. Forever. You got some people that teach that some people are going to go up in the rapture, and some people aren't going to grow up with the rapture and stuff. That's not the case. Well, if you're saved, you're going to ever be with the Lord. Now, what's so interesting about that is that's an instant transport. That's something God specializes in. Let me turn to a few verses. Look over here in John chapter 6. Instant transport. God specializes in this very thing right here. John chapter 6, verse number 21. We're going to have an instant transport. Man, he's good at that. He can get you out of here in just a moment, and he shows some pictures of this oftentimes. In John chapter number 6, what happens is these disciples of Jesus, he's in a mountain apart. In verse number 15, he's up there in the mountain praying for them. Well, guess what? That's a type of what he's doing right now. Why? He's our high priest up there right now, mediator. The Bible says there's one mediator between God, man, and the man Christ Jesus. So he's up somewhere while they're on the bottom down here going through a storm. Well, you know what? That's what we're going through right now down here. A storm in this old world. It's one storm after another. Now watch this right here. It says in verse number 16, And when even was now come, his disciples went down into the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs, so you got about 220 yards, about 3 miles. All right, so they're out here about midway, let's see. And drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly, you got to willingly receive Jesus every time.
Willingly.
Now watch this. Willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. That's a miracle a lot of people overlook. Why? They went from being in the middle of that sea to boom, they was on the other side. You know what? We're in the middle of this thing right now, and you're talking about me in the middle of the trouble, and you got troubles going on here, there, and yonder, and your body and everything. You think, man, I'm just about to be in that grave. I hope the Lord comes. I got 1 foot on a banana peel, another foot in the grave, and I'm about to go, and guess what? Boom, we get out of here.
Amen.
That's instant transport. Now, let me show you another instant transport. Look at Acts chapter number 8. Instant transport. Acts chapter number 8, this right here just gets gooder and gooder, as they say. Why is that? Because look here, I've got a God that's able to transport me immediately. He's done it before in small instances, but I'm going to tell you something. The next large, huge event to go on is the rapture of the church. That is the next big event to happen.
That's right.
And folks, I'm going to tell you, it can't come soon enough for me. I would love for it to come today. Why? Because look, y'all, there's not one problem that you have the rapture won't solve. We're enjoying one another now, but y'all, you, our body is not able to enjoy what we're going to be able to enjoy whenever you get that new body and get in the presence of the Lord. It's just something I have not the oratory to tell you, but I try. Now watch this. This is Philip baptized the eunuch. And matter of fact, you'll notice that he got water baptized after he had believed. And so Philip had went down. Now watch verse 39. It says, and when they were come up out of the water. That's why we immerse people. That's why, you know, if you ever ask people, say, why don't you sprinkle? Because the Bible says he come up out of the water. We immerse believers. All right. It says, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip. Look at that. Spirit of the Lord called him away. Boom. Gone. That the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. And Philip was found at Azotus, and if I pronounce that wrong, forgive me. And passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. All right, he's here 1 minute in one place, and the next minute he's gone and completely transported to another place. You know what's going to be happening to us?
Amen.
We're going to be there, and I hope it'd be nice to be water baptizing somebody. You get up out of there, and boom, you're gone. Now, I'm going to tell you something. One of these days, I'm going to be here, and the next day, I'm not. And he was not, for the Lord took him. You know what's going to happen with us? Christian, you're going to be not. Look, I'm telling you, I believe in a rapture. I don't believe in that. There's no way that's true. Guess what? One day, you're going to be gone. And they're going to wonder where in the world you are. They're going to wonder where you are. I can tell you something. And I tell you, this world, they'll tell them what they're going to use to explain it away. Let me give you another one here. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. And I'll show you another one here. This is one of my favorite ones. One of my favorite ones right here. This is a good one right here now. I'm going to tell you something. The Apostle Paul has got something to say out of these verses. I believe it'll be a blessing to you, because we're going to be instantly transported. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, in verse number 2, I knew a man in Christ. Guess what? I'm in Christ. And if you're saved, you're in Christ. Above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. And such an one caught up. Guess what? The Bible says we're going to be caught up. Called up to the third heaven. That's where God is. The first heaven, the birds fly in. The second heaven are where the stars are. And the third heaven is where God is. He is. It says, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Some of these folks say, I went to heaven. Let me tell you what I saw. It's not lawful. I don't believe it for a minute. Why? Because the Bible says if you go and you see things, it's not lawful to utter those things. And why? Because look, Christ himself told Nicodemus, somebody who was very familiar with the Bible of that day, he said, if I've told you earthly things and you don't understand, how can you understand if I tell you heavenly things? Y'all, we just can't understand. The closest thing, we can understand a lot of things about hell. That's why a lot of people get saved on a message from hell. Why? Because look, we're closer to hell than we are heaven. Hell is under your feet, way down there, but it's under your feet according to the Bible. It's in the heart of the earth according to the Bible. We can understand earthly things because hell is in earth. But a lot of things about heaven, that's why the Bible talks about heaven very little as far as those things. Because our minds just can't comprehend these things. You think about the very presence of God. We can't. Look, this is something I just can't wrap my mind around. There are three seraphim in that Bible, in that Old Testament, and they're up there constantly, the Bible says, singing, "Holy, holy, holy, glory God Almighty." They're up there now doing it. They've been there back then doing it, and they're there doing it in Revelation in the future. That's how holy he is, that they just stand, that they can constantly say, "Holy." That's holiness. I mean, we can't even touch under that. The fact that God can say, you know what, I want to make a star right quick. You ought to try that sometime. But y'all, we're going to be in the presence of the God one day. Man, right. Are you talking about something exciting? Yeah. He says we're going to be caught up instantly, transported in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye. Now, verse 53 back in 1 Corinthians. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. Y'all, this body's corruptible. Man, the very fact that we're deteriorating shows it's corruptible. But you're going to put on a body that does not corrupt.
That's right.
It doesn't get old. Now you imagine not getting old?
Mercy.
Y'all, I just can't. That's something we can't fathom, but it says it's going to be incorruptible. You're never going to age. This world wants that so bad. They want to find it so bad. That's why they're trying to merge with machines. And that's why they're trying to download their mind on a conscience and things like the conscience on a machine and thing. And that's why they tell stories about Neverland and Peter Pan and all that stuff. Why they never grow old there. Why? Because they're looking for a land that they never grow old in, and the land that they never die in. But the thing is, they can get it freely through Jesus Christ if they come to him, but they don't want to come that way. Why is it? Because they want to hang on to sin. Do you know that you can't hang on to anything and get saved? All you got to do is trust Jesus Christ and he'll clean you up.
Yep.
People say, man, I've got to quit this and I've got to quit that and I've got to quit the other thing. No, you don't. You trust Jesus Christ and he will help you with all those things. You can't stop that stuff. You can't stop all that stuff without Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you this. I need to correct that statement and say this. A lot of people can turn over a new leaf. They can stop doing one habit, but I'm going to tell you this, it will be replaced by something else.
That's exactly right.
Some people can stop doing an outward sin, and it will be replaced by inward sin.
That's
why? Because a lot of people say, well, see, I reformed, you know. Oh, no, you just replace that. Why? Because you can't change it truly until you're in Christ, and Christ can help you with those things. Now, only Christ can help you out with things like that actually makes a difference. Now it says in verse 54, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption. See, in verse 53, you got a change in durability. You're going to literally be durable throughout all forever. Verse 54, you got a change in destiny. That is, you're going to have and this mortal shall have put on immortality.
Amen.
You're never going to die. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And we sing, oh, victory in Jesus.
That's right.
You see that? Death. Y'all, the fact that we will never die and never have any loved ones die and never have to worry about that we don't have to worry about death anymore? Man, where'd that devil Bible go? Has anybody got it? Somebody may have threw that thing in the trash. No, that New International Perversion. I was wanting to show you something. Here it is. All right, now this next verse right here says this. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Now, I believe it's going to be this one. I know most of the new Catholic Bibles change that verse. So I wanted to give you something out of that, show you why you have to be careful. Let's see here. All right, this one doesn't do it. It's the New King James. The New King James, I've got a note there, the reason why I know. The New King James says, O death, where is thy sting? O Hades, where is thy victory? Y'all, you know what? That puts a Christian in purgatory. That's why a lot of people teach purgatory, and that's why your Catholics teach purgatory, because the Catholic Bible say, O Hades. Look, I don't have nothing to do with Hades. It says, O grave. Why? The body's in the grave, and that grave's not going to hold that body down. Why? It's going to come out there, and he's going to change that dead body down. He's going to change it in a new, incorruptible, immortal body.
Amen.
And I'll tell you something. Whenever you see the death of a loved one and somebody you know that's in Christ, you can look down there in that grave and you can say, you're not going to hold him.
Amen.
You're not going to hold him down, because
Amen.
The Lord is going to give him a new body, and I'm going to see him again. That's what gives us the hope there. Why? There's a change there in of dominion. Why? Because death no longer has dominion over your body. Man, I'm excited about that. Why? Because, man, look here. I'm not scared to die. I'm not, if I were to get killed, that'd be fine. Because, look here, y'all know where I'd be, but I don't want to die. There's a difference there. There's a difference in being scared and not wanting to. Y'all, I want to be able to go up with all of y'all. Man, I'd like for all of us to go out together, man. Why? There's a hope there. It says in verse 56, the sting of death is sin. Why? Look, let me show you a verse. Look at Romans 4.
That's right.
Romans 4. The sting of death is a sin. Now, look here. The only reason you die is because of sin.
That's right.
Y'all, sin kills. You know what? I saw somebody I went to high school with a while back, and we're same age. And I know people age differently. Y'all, this person has been really, really hard on their body. I mean, really hard. And y'all, I'll tell you something. To me, an older person that's serving the Lord, no matter how many wrinkles they have on their face, that is something about that face. That it's a beautiful face. If you know what I'm talking about. Wow, they got a joy. It's a glow about them, and those wrinkles can be actually a pretty thing, if that's the correct word. They can be a good thing. They can be something that makes them look more godly. But I'm going to tell you this. There's a difference between those wrinkles and the wrinkles of somebody who's got that old hardened wrinkle of a face that's just full of sadness and sorrow and just discontentment, a face of just utter evil, to where they just let evil corrupt their heart. That's a hard thing. Why? That's sin bringing that face on. Look at Romans 4:15. Because the law worketh wrath. Now you know what that law does? If you go against that law, you know what that law does? That law kills. The letter killeth. So you know what's happening? Those people are committing those things that God says don't do, and you know what's doing? It's killing. It's killing the heart. It's a root of bitterness in there. There's no time. Roots are just sprung up in there of different things. And you know what's doing? It's killing on the inside prematurely, and it comes up from the inside. But watch this. It says in verse 15, for where no law is, there is no transgression. You know what? Christ Jesus, he kept every bit of that law to the letter. To the letter. Now you know what? This old body is dying off. But in God's eyes, I've kept the law, and so have you, perfectly. Why? Because the one who was able to keep it perfectly kept it for me, and I trusted
That's
him,
right.
And I'm in him. And guess what? This old thing right here can corrupt, but I'll get a new one.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole message of this thing. Why? Why? He's telling these Corinthians, you better keep that in mind. Why? It keeps you from being carnal. You know what keeps us in mind? It's we've got a better hope. It keeps you from giving up. It keeps you from saying, I'm throwing in the towel. It keeps you from saying, I don't have anything to look forward to. It keeps you from saying, what in the world's all this for? How do you know he's saying that? Watch 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. He's encouraging them with that thought. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me. He shed his blood. See, we sing these things. Why? Victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, watch it. Be ye steadfast, unmovable. Why? Because they weren't being steadfast and they were being movable.
That's
Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain, whereat in the Lord. Anything you do in the Lord is not in vain. That's why whenever you serve the Lord, you came here this morning, it's not in vain. You read the Bible, it's not in vain. You pray, it's not in vain. Whenever you serve in the Lord, anything you do for Him is not in vain. You're trying to be a good husband, a good wife. You're trying to be a good grandpa, a good grandma. Whatever it is you're doing in the Lord, it's not in vain. He's saying, look here, having all these things to look forward to, why don't you realize there's nothing, there's no reason to quit. There's no reason to give in. There's no reason to give out. You just need to be steadfast, knowing that you need to abound in the work of the Lord.
Amen.
And he's saying, all these things right here are things that's going to help you. Now look here, as far as with us, I know this right here. Anything that you do, it may be a labor. He says it's labor, but it's not in vain. Y'all, I tell you, he never said it was going to be easy. But he never said that he wasn't going to be with you while he's already went there. That's what we're going to talk about in the sermon. He's already been there. He's not telling you to do something he wasn't willing to do or able to do. He's able to do it in and through you.
That's exactly.
And he said, it's not in vain in the Lord. I thank the Lord that we've got all these promises to look forward to. We got all this stuff to look forward to. And all this stuff we can read about and know. And it helps us, why? To be steadfast, unmovable. You know what? There's many things that tries to move you.
I just like to tell you something. I was saying on that, humbly give the Lord praise. When I went to work up there, you took the two or three of us that was praying every morning.
Yeah.
And Friday, I was a little bit late. We'd do it about 5 or 10 to 7. It was 15 people up there to pray.
Hey!
Man, that's a blessing.
Yes, it is.
See? It's not in vain. Amen. Amen. That's a blessing. I like to hear that. Brother Eli, if you would close us out.